The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father, a mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
We have heard the saying, united we stand, divided we fall. I hope everybody knows that. United we stand, divided we fall. And always remember that when there is division, it means what? That there are two opposing parties. In our case, it's either we belong to God, we love God and obey His will, or we go against God. Sad to say, it's not as simple as that. Because even within those who believe in God, there are divisions. In the first reading, we talk about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet, but he wasn't the only prophet of God in that time. Yet, when he was saying things that were not pleasing to the ears of the people, they wanted him dead. Because even within the prophets of God, there were people, or there were prophets who were afraid or unwilling to say whatever they have to say. Rather, they were more concerned about pleasing the king or pleasing the leaders of society. Here was Jeremiah, who was straight to the point and offended the sensitive ears of that time, and they wanted him dead. So division happens not only the obvious one, God or the devil, but even within those who believe in God. Because let's face it, in the second reading, it talks about what? Focus on Jesus. Okay? Meaning what? As an individual, my desire is to focus on Jesus, imitate Him, follow Him, become like Him, be one with Him, love Him, all about Jesus. But even within our religion, there are division. That instead of focusing on Jesus, some focus on what? On dividing the church. Remember, who do you think is happy when the one holy Catholic Church founded by Jesus became divided? And now there are more than 36,000 denominations, all of different teachings and doctrines and belief. See, even that, the devil is successful in dividing the one church founded by Jesus. And look what's happening. They even, again, these are not strangers. Christian ministers, for example, Christian ministers, something as obvious as thou shalt not kill. Huh? Something as obvious as thou shalt not kill. What do you hear now? Even Christian ministers are saying, some, not all, celebrate abortion. See? Even within our ranks, even within our own community, even within the Church of Christ, some are even confusing what is evil and what is good. They are changing moralities just to please people. Just like in Jeremiah, he was just one of the prophets, but even among his buddies as fellow prophets, he wasn't pleasing to the ears, and he was condemned for it. Same thing with us. You would have thought that because we are pro-life, that we respect life, that we respect and protect the unborn, that there should be no conflict. But no. Ask those people who love abortion, who advocate for abortion, we are the evil ones. We are the ones crazy. We are the ones offending them. We are the ones offending them. Imagine that. They look at pro-life people, those who respect life, to be the evil one. My goodness, see? How something as... The thing about the devil, it used to be what? Black and white. Good or bad. But the devil is working on what? On making sure that people really do not know anymore what is evil. And then, of course, the other side is that there are some, again, within our ranks, within our church, within Christianity, who would cover up sin by saying, Jesus loves you. And then they will use the word inclusive. Meaning what? That they will accept everybody to the church. Why? What do you mean by Catholicos anyway? Catholicos, Catholic means what? Universal. You don't have to use the political word inclusive. Here among our Catholic Church, we are what? A combination of different cultures, languages, sexes, addictions, sinfulness, sinners, all are welcome. And for any Christian church to say, oh, we are inclusive, what does it mean? When I hear the word inclusive, they mean to say, come, whoever you are, whatever you are, Jesus loves you, but continue to sin. That's what's happening. If you are, you don't have to change because God, this is not what they say, Christ died for you. And because Christ died for you, you are saved. So therefore, you don't need to change. He'll just bring you to himself. See, in our case, no. We are sinners. No, but no pretensions here, huh? Please, no pretensions. All of us here, we have our own skeleton in the closet. We have our own mistakes, faults, and failures. But we approach Jesus with all honesty, no pretensions, and say, Lord, I am sorry for whatever I have done. And please guide me, strengthen me, enlighten me, so that I can change. Stop any kind of addiction, slavery to sin. If I'm addicted to alcohol, if I'm addicted to pornography, to fornication, to drugs, please help me. Please help me stop, because this is destroying my body, my spirit, my soul. And by the grace of God, I can. See? Because Christ said so. I will not judge you. Who am I to judge you? But sin no more. Christ didn't say that I love you and continue to sin. Don't change. No. That is why it's called a change of heart. A heart that is used to be full of selfishness and worldliness, to a heart that is full of Christ's love. So there are many divisions. Some people concentrate on the Christ about doctrines, teaching about doctrines, but not really pastoral. Some, that's why, again, within the church, we have the ultra-conservative, we have the liberal. Why do you think that is? Because the ultra-conservative think that they are no more than the Pope. The ultra-conservative think that they are there to destroy the church from within. Even though they think they have knowledge about certain doctrines, they think they know more than the Pope. See, that's the problem with ultra-conservatives. Be careful of them. You know? Because they pretend to teach Catholic doctrines, but what they say in their sight is all about bad things. No? Be careful. There is only one Holy Catholic Church, and we are led by the Pope. Any group, any internet site that pretend to be Catholic but try to judge the Pope and the bishops and the priests and talk about all the ugliness of the church, those are self-righteous people. They are not even priests. And then we have the liberals, wherein they, again, going back to what I said, Jesus loves you, therefore there is no more sin, there is no more evil, because Christ died for everybody. Extreme. So we are divided. There is division. Too much selfishness, too much relativism. They think they know more than the Pope. They think they are living for the church, but actually they are glorifying themselves. They have no loyalty to God. They have no loyalty to the church. They pretend to, but they are willing to destroy with the church just to feed their ego. Be careful, because some of you are like that. I know. Ultra-conservative, they think they know more than the Pope. And liberal, they think they know that there is no more evil. So please, my dear friends, I am your priest. My job, my obligation, my privilege is to lead you to Christ. But ultimately, don't compare yourself to others. Simply compare yourself to Christ.